Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight I am joined by my co-host, Mr. Roberto Rojas, and special guest, Jonathan Johnson, all things French football for ESPN, as we discuss one of the all-time greats in our Hall of Foot series, Zinedine Zidane. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me. Jonathan, I want to go to you first and talk about Zidane's beginnings. Obviously born and raised in France, but the son of Algerian immigrants, and then moving on through the youth ranks. Tell us about his start, both as, you know, as a kid growing up in France with really humble beginnings and then moving into professional football.
Yeah, as you said, you know, he's he was the son of some Algerian immigrants. He grew up in Marseille. Never actually played for Marseille, the club, but is still held in very high regard in that area, despite you know, having played for the likes of Bordeaux, Cannes, and then gone on to greater things outside of France. You know, yet never playing for the actual local club. You know, and from there, you know, he started his career with he started his professional career with Cannes. Stayed in Ligue 1 with Bordeaux, and then eventually made the move to Italy before, you know, moving on to Real Madrid.
And Jonathan, just looking at the person Zinedine Zidane is before we get into kind of his main career, how is he perceived in France? Because we know of how multiracial France is, and obviously the career that he would later have and kind of be an inspiration for a lot of kids out there that grow up in kind of immigrant families, first, second generation French people. I mean, how is he perceived as the person itself outside of a football pitch?
You know, I think he's held in very high regard by the French. You know, he's seen as one of their, you know, their real celebrity people. When they do polls of sports figures, you know, who are the most popular in the country, you know, Zidane is still regularly near the top. And I don't think that's just down to what he did as a player or what he's doing as a coach now, you know, but I think that that is because, you know, there's a lot of French people out there who can identify with him as well. I mean, like you said, you know, France is a very multicultural country, you know. And I think Zidane has, you know, has been one of the symbols that sort of champions that over the years. You know, obviously, he's very accessible in terms of image because of the success that he's had as both a player and coach. You know, but he's somebody who has never really sort of gotten into the headlines for the wrong reasons. Okay, I mean, everybody knows, you know, everyone who followed Zidane's career will know that, you know, there's been flashpoints on the pitch, you know, where, you know, his aggression has come to the surface from time to time. But Zidane never really made very many negative headlines, you know, sort of outside of a football context. And even those negative headlines, you know, for footballing reasons on the pitch, you know, were often outweighed by the good headlines he created as a player. So, you know, I think he's definitely somebody who is still seen in a very, very positive way in France all these years after he retired.
And he's also, you know, just looking back on that, he's also contributed to youth football now, you know, past his career in France as well. So he's given back to, you know, to his roots, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's done a fair bit for charity, you know, and then obviously moved into you know, development at a youth level with Real Madrid before finally moving on to, you know, to senior football. So, yeah, you know, you could say that he's given back a lot to the game, you know, having been given so much by the game over the years. And, you know, he's still somebody who now, you know, takes part regularly in charity events when he can, and, you know, has a, like I said earlier, has a very good reputation, you know, sort of now that he's settled into retirement.
Now, when we look at his position, he was obviously an attacking midfielder and certainly one of the all-time greats as an attacking midfielder. I don't ever recall Zidane playing any different position than that, and I didn't know if you could elaborate on that. You know, was he considered for other positions in his career, or, you know, would he have been better off as a striker? Tell us about the way he played attacking midfield.
No, I mean, I think, yeah, you know, since a very early age, sort of, you know, coming to the fore with Cannes, then being identified as, you know, for Bordeaux, and then going on to play for Juventus, you know, he was very obviously, you know, an attack-minded player, you know, somebody who always played better, being sort of in the middle of all of the actions that are being placed in the center of the pitch, and you know, although he did, you know, rack up a good number of goals over the course of his career, you know, it wasn't one of the main parts of his game. You know, he was a creator because of that. I don't think that, you know, there are too many people who have come across him in his career that have thought, oh, you know, he should be, you know, played out wide on the wing, or, you know, we could move him back into defense, or, you know, play him as a lone striker, that kind of thing. You know, it's always been very obvious that, you know, the game flows through him at various points in his career. And I don't think too many people who, you know, who really paid attention to him before he, you know, obviously exploded as a world-class talent that everybody knew about. You know, I don't think there's too many people who, if they paid attention to his game, would have, you know, sort of miscast him in a role that didn't suit him. Okay, you know, later on, sort of with Real Madrid, he, you know, he was more centrally based. I mean, I wouldn't say as like a defensive midfielder, but, you know, he was quite, you know, he's quite low down on the in the pitch, but still, you know, managed to contribute in many different ways going forward. You know, and I think it was at that point, you know, where he sort of reached the pinnacle of his game, and it just became obvious to everybody, you know, just how well he understood it and how flawlessly, you know, he could use his phenomenal technique to aid the teams that he was playing for, whether it was Real Madrid, whether it was France.
Now, looking into that ascension, I guess, to a more world-class star, obviously, as you mentioned before, he did leave France and headed off to Juventus, headed to Serie A, which was considered the most dominant league in the world at the time, playing against the likes of players like Ronaldo, Gabriel Batistuta, but also playing alongside players like Alessandro Del Piero. He was able to make it to a Champions League final, only to lose it against Borussia Dortmund, and he did end up winning a lot of titles there. But you would say, as you mentioned, Arjen, that really his ascension into his peak was at Real Madrid, and, you know, being part of that Galacticos era made by Florentino Perez. And I think one of the more memorable moments, and we'll get to that in the next segment, is his famous strike against Bayer Leverkusen in the 0-2 final, where he won his first ever Champions League title. You know, what makes this Zidane at Real Madrid much more special than the one at Juventus? You know, was this the best Zidane that we saw, even counting the ones that we saw at the World Cup in 98, where he obviously won, and then even the one in 2006, where he was just as magical coming back from retirement? I mean, where do we see the best Zinedine Zidane during the course of his career?
I mean, I think you see flashes of brilliance from Zidane, you know, throughout his career. You know, he certainly had his moments, you know, with Cannes, with Bordeaux, with Juventus, and with Real Madrid. I mean, it's all relative, really. You know, for example, Cannes and Bordeaux were never going to be playing at the same level as Real Madrid, although, you know, Juventus sort of were on a similar standing around the same time. I mean, I'd say his real ascension to greatness came sort of, you know, towards the end of his time with Juventus, and he was really at his peak throughout the majority of his time with Real. You know, he, you know, despite, you know, various sort of explosions, you know, and shows of aggression at times with Juventus, you know, he was still recognized as a phenomenal talent. You know, I think he was regarded the best foreign footballer in Serie A, you know, a couple of times during his spell there. You know, so I think that's when he really, you know, sort of was on the verge of greatness. And then obviously when he joined Real Madrid, that's when everything sort of, you know, clicked into place. And, you know, he sort of developed this legendary reputation, you know, which still holds up today.
Now, Joe, going also to follow up, you know, he ended up winning the Ballon d'Or in 98 and also winning three FIFA World Player of the Year awards in 98 and 2003 and in 2000. I mean, you know, for the reputation and kind of also the competition that Zidane had to encounter, just looking at who he had to beat for that Ballon d'Or and for the World Player of the Year, the likes of Ronaldo, Davor Šuker, Luis Figo, Rivaldo, Thierry Henry, and many other big players from the world stage. I mean, just shows how impressive and how different Zidane was to the rest of his contemporaries.
Yeah, I absolutely. You know, and he did it. I was thinking about his career and listening to you guys as well, kind of follow up on it. He kind of aged like a fine wine. I mean, as he moved through the ranks, he tended to get better and better, and to the point where he became that Galacticos at Real Madrid, and part of that project was really kind of his finest years. And then moving into the World Cup, even in that 06 World Cup, which was his, you know, his swan song to speak, you know, he had a magnificent tournament then. So the competition that he had around him, it was very, very even, I would say. You know, when you're talking about players like Luis Figo at Real Madrid that played with him, you talk about, you know, Alessandro Del Piero, you talk about a lot of these other players. They were all kind of on the same level, and someone like Zidane was able to shine through and kind of rise above, and that's why he's considered one of the greatest of all time, because, you know, playing with this level competition, he was able to stand out above them for sure. So, and of course he did it because of iconic moments that he gave us over his career. And I highlighted two of them in particular, and Rob, you alluded to one, but I want to ask Jonathan, you know, we talked about that volley in the 2002 Champions League final for Real Madrid. We also talk about the finals in 98 at the World Cup, where he scored two goals in the final on the way to a 3-0 victory and the first World Cup title for France and doing it on home soil. Jonathan, I want to go to you. Those two moments really stand out for me as iconic moments for Zidane. For you, what is his most iconic moment?
I mean, take your pick. I mean, there's so many of them. You know, yes, you know, both of those moments are massively iconic. I mean, I think it's always going to be very difficult being the hero in a World Cup final or on home soil. You know, no matter who you are, you know. But I think that there are other achievements in Zidane's career that also deserve, you know, great recognition. I mean, look at the fact that he basically, well, at times single-handedly, led France to the 2006 World Cup final, and even though it ended, you know, in controversy with the red card because of the headbutt on Marco Materazzi. I mean, some of his performances during that tournament were just phenomenal. I mean, you know, people. You know, still, you know, you've got the documentary on Zidane, and you know, it's kind of one of those videos where you show a young kid and say, you know, if you want to play in this position, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you need to watch in order to learn how to play, you know, and how to, you know, how to really reach the top of the game. And there's just so many individual performances over the course of 90 minutes of Zidane's that you could say, you know, were completely exemplary. You know, and I think that it was okay. It didn't end in the success that, you know, it might have deserved. You know, but it still doesn't deserve to be forgotten just because of the way that it ended with the headbutt on Materazzi. You know, some of the performances that he managed to bring out there in 2006 were equally as impressive as any that he put in over the course of his career, whether it was with Juventus, with France, you know, or Bordeaux. It's, you know, I think there's some of it, it, you know, was just absolutely phenomenal, and Zidane deserves for all of these memories, you know, to still be discussed to this day when talking about his legacy.
And Rob, you know, I want to come to you because I do want to ask you your opinion of his iconic moment. But you and I were talking before we started recording, and we really felt that 2006 final was a microcosm of his entire career, where you know, he played well in the first half against Italy in that final, but it wasn't his stellar self, and he really didn't grow into the game and become that large figure that we normally see or we normally think of Zidane as until the second half of the match where France were much more dominant. And then obviously the issue with Materazzi at the end kind of leads to his fiery personality, which we saw on the pitch, which didn't really entirely translate off the pitch. It was kind of a microcosm of his life, you know, his life in football. Rob, I want to go to you and tell me what you think would be his most iconic moment.
Well, I think Going back to that final, that whole competition as a whole, you know, as you said, he did win the Golden Ball and was the player of the tournament. And as Jonathan said, I think he was amazing and sensational. I think everyone looks back as well to that game against Brazil, Brazil side that was favored to win the World Cup and was stacked up tremendously. And he demonstrated his fashionably gifted world-class talent in front of the entire world. And of course, I think in that final, it kind of really demonstrates the epic and as you said, kind of a microcosm of what Zidane would have in his career. You know, the fact that it was his last ever game as a professional player, doing it against Italy, a country where he had lived and played for many years. The way that he scored that penalty, you know, chipping it past Gigi Buffon. And then obviously the famous headbutt where he was sent off and even the image of him walking past the World Cup where, you know, we don't know what could have happened if he had won it and where his legacy would have been as one of the greatest if it had been moved up a place. But, yeah, I think for anyone's case, in terms of a career and how you want to be always remembered, I think perhaps maybe the greatest sportsman that France has ever produced. I think everyone has to go back to that 98 World Cup because, you know, to become kind of really the star of a team that was very multicultural, you know, the likes of many players coming from immigrant backgrounds, for him to score two goals in the final against Brazil, the reigning champions, and then having his image projected on the Arc de Triomphe over the Champs-Élysées and had thousands of fans, not even a million fans, celebrating the biggest triumph in French football history. I think that has to really stick into his career and how he'll probably remembered among many other things, but I think that's probably the one where he will definitely be considered more of a national hero and an icon for all of French people around. So, John, just going back now into obviously his later career, I mean, he's done a lot of things ever since he retired. I think we can initially start with him participating in charity events. But of course, I think we have to also look back to what he's been doing over the last decade or so. I mean, first he started off as a special advisor for Real Madrid, you know, working with the likes of Jose Mourinho, and then moving up to working as a sporting director and then becoming an assistant manager to Carlo Ancelotti, coaching the B team as well, and then moving up to the big gig itself as Real Madrid manager, where he's won three Champions League finals, and he's really made a career of himself. Okay, maybe it's not as big as other managers would say, but you know, you have to give credit when credit's due to win three straight Champions Leagues, probably the first ever manager to do it. But just going into what he's been doing now and the career that he's had as a manager, you look at the comparisons that people are starting to make now, with the likes of Johan Cruyff, for example, who was a great manager and a great player as well. Are we starting to see that kind of route for Zinedine Zidane during his course as Real Madrid manager? Or is there still something left that he has to prove until he's in that discussion as one of the best players and managers ever?
No, I mean, I think it's very difficult to argue, you know, with the Champions League titles that he won with Real. I mean, I think his ability to get those sorts of sustained performances out of a team that, you know, it's a squad that people already thought was on the wane when he took over, you know, is testament to the respect that footballers, whether or not they grew up watching Zidane or, you know, managed to play alongside him, you know, have towards him. Everybody knows who Zidane is. Even if they weren't old enough to sort of have grown up watching him, they will have seen, you know, videos of the way he played and will respect everything that he achieved throughout his career. And because of that, it puts him in a rare position. You know, I think Pep Guardiola is in the same boat where you can put any group of players in the dressing room with this guy, and the players will listen and follow the instructions given to them. And I think that's quite a rare thing in modern football these days, where many players, you know, sort of feel that they know more than the coach or the member of staff at the club. So, yeah, I mean, I can see why people are starting to sort of draw parallels, similarities between Zidane and Cruyff. The thing that surprised me most was Zidane going back to the Real Madrid job after what he'd achieved. I mean, given how well Real played, during his first spell as coach. I thought that he would take some time out away from the game and basically wait until the French national team job became available. Take that, you know, try and win a couple of titles with France, you know, and that would have sort of sealed his status as a legendary former player and coach. I'm not saying that, you know, he's sort of at risk at this moment in time of destroying all of that, you know, but the moment there where he went back to Real Madrid and took over and how things had been going this season before everything went on pause because of coronavirus, you know, it wasn't quite, to, at least to me, to my mind, it wasn't quite going according to plan second time around. And I think it's very rare that people can enjoy success somewhere where they've previously enjoyed success, you know, and also have it for a sustained period of time. You know, you look at somebody like Jose Mourinho, who's started to become a little bit repetitive in his career, had multiple spells at Chelsea, was linked with a return to Inter Milan, has been linked with a return to Real Madrid as well, but is actually, you know, struggling at this moment in his career, you know, for the first time in a long time, didn't really, you know, hit the heights at Manchester United like many expected, is not doing the same either with Tottenham, although he arguably needs a full season before he can really be judged. You know, and I think that Zidane at this moment in time is sort of risking the possibility for him to sort of walk into what I would say would be the ideal role for him next, which would be to take over from Didier Deschamps as the head of the French national team and try and lead them to some glory at some point in the future. So I'd say that, you know, possible given the amount of time and what he's invested into Real Madrid over the years, that he could become a similar figure to Cruyff, you know. But Cruyff wasn't just about you know, one club, you know, Ajax, Barcelona, the Dutch national team. You associate all three with Cruyff, and I think for Zidane, you know, to sort of enjoy that same reputation, you know, he's going to have to achieve something as a coach with France at some point in the future. And he has taken a bit of a gamble with returning to Real Madrid and in the situation that they were in, you know, and now has a lot of work ahead of him to rebuild them and put them back in a similar situation where they might be able to challenge for sustained Champions League success in the coming seasons.
You know, it's a good question and a good segue to you, Joe, on that, because now you look at how Zidane is viewed as a manager, you know, even though he is considering one of the most successful managers of his era and probably in the history of Real Madrid, winning those consecutive Champions League titles and other stuff as well. You know, many people consider that time to be kind of shadowed by, you know, maybe a partial amount of luck, maybe also him not being as an innovator tactically. You know, even though he is praised for his like balanced approach and having that kind of leadership skills and also that kind of that role and respect that he has because of what he's achieved as a player. I know, just following up with what Jonathan said, Joe, I mean, where do we see Zidane now? I mean, coming into this type of challenge of returning to a Real Madrid side that is rebuilding, obviously without players like Cristiano Ronaldo, and kind of in a way risking his managerial career as opposed to someone who can go somewhere to better enhance their career as a manager and be an all-time great. I mean, he's still very young at 47, but, you know, he definitely is following that route. But in any case, he is still considered, or at least when you look at a collective standpoint and what he's won as a manager, I mean, he has to be earned as respectfully as one of those great managers of this modern era.
Sure. You know, if you look back, the gamble of coming back the second time at Real Madrid is just that. It's a gamble. I don't think whatever happens at Real Madrid would affect his position going to the French national team. I think for me, from what I've seen, he's got that job that belongs to him whenever Deschamps steps down. You know, because we were talking, even if you remember before the 2018 World Cup, that Deschamps was on thin ice, or at least it felt like that leading into the World Cup. And then obviously they had the great performance with that team that led them to the final, which really, I think, secured Deschamps' position with the team for, you know, a little bit longer. But I do think ultimately that Zidane will more than likely step into that role. It's going to be the optics of what can he do at the club level without a superstar like Cristiano Ronaldo on his side. And obviously, it's been a difficult run. I think stepping back into the Real Madrid role here was difficult because it was kind of it needed to be rebuilt. And many people saw that. And we didn't think that Zidane should step in for his legacy purposes. We didn't think he should step into a rebuilding role. But obviously, his loyalty to Real Madrid overshadowed the perception of the rebuild. So he did take that job on, and not for nothing, I don't think he's done a terrible job there. It's just not at the same level as it was before the needed rebuild. And that's going to reflect on him, unfortunately, but I don't think it's something that belongs to him because there was a lot of turmoil above him and he's really coming in just trying to save the ship and try to bail the water out. So ultimately, I think you'll see him continue to build his legacy as a manager, maybe put his name up against the names of like Cruyff and so on. But he's got to do that both at the national team level and at the club level. And Jonathan, you know, obviously you mentioned Ajax, you mentioned Real Madrid. Barcelona, when you look at Cruyff and the Dutch national team. I was almost hoping he would take over a different side, maybe even a different country that might have allowed him to build that legacy a little deeper. Whether it be he was rumored to go to Juventus, it would have been a team that he could have gone back to or elsewhere. I think that would have been something that would have kind of solidified his legacy a little bit further. So,
I mean, it's quite interesting when you consider how Zidane's managerial career could have gone quite differently as well. There were rumors, strong rumors, linking him with a return to Bordeaux as coach before he took over as Real Madrid coach. Mm-hmm. Because in his early days at Real, once he'd taken over, people were asking, you know, perhaps if this had come too early. And you do sort of wonder how he would have fared if he'd taken over at Bordeaux, a club that's, you know, sort of been stagnating now, for quite some time. Obviously, he wouldn't have been able to challenge for the same sort of continental success that he enjoyed with Real. But would he have been able to do something similar to another former France national team teammate who went into management, Laurent Blanc, who, you know, enjoyed some success with Bordeaux, before carving out quite a decent managerial career for himself. So, you know, it is very curious to consider where it all could have gone had he joined another club. And that's something that he can still do at some point in his career. You mentioned Juventus. That would be, an obvious place for him to go or to return to Serie A, at least. I don't think he's going to be linked with the Cannes job anytime soon with them so far down the French footballing pyramid. But, you know, moving to Bordeaux, if he wanted a challenge at some point in his future, that's also a possibility as long as they stay in Ligue 1. So, I do think... seeing him somewhere else, not necessarily in the French national team job, would be very, very interesting and would give us an indication of, sort of just how well he has adapted to management.
No doubt about it. To close out our interview, we always ask where this player ranks among similar players in his position. So at the attacking midfield position, if you want to talk about Maradona in that spot, some people do, some people don't. And I don't mind if you add him in here or not. But you actually have to ask yourself, is he the best attacking midfielder France has ever produced? Because the great that he replaced is just Michel Platini, who was considered one of the greatest ever. We talked about Johan Cruyff. We talked about Zico in Brazil. For you, Jonathan, where does Zinedine Zidane rank as an all-time great attacking midfielder in world football?
I mean, I really don't like to talk too much about, great figures from the past who I was never able to watch live. Obviously, I recognize how fantastic these players were, and I enjoy, watching videos of them or, documentaries or films. I can spend hours doing that, and it's some of the great players of the past played some absolutely phenomenal stuff in my lifetime. I have no doubt that Zidane was for me the best player in terms of technique, in terms of some of the success that he enjoyed, especially against the odds. I don't think there's anyone else up there in football in my lifetime that can compete with that. Yes, France has a quite a long line of legendary players. He'd sort of be the obvious heir to somebody like Platini. But for me, I didn't I didn't grow up watching Platini as a player, because his career had come to an end just as I was born. So for me, you know, Zidane is the best. You know, and I don't think I'm alone in saying that either. You look at some of what his former teammates have said about him. You know, players from other sports as well. You know, his impact. You know, on football. You know, the football that I sort of grew up and matured watching. You know, is immeasurable, really.
Mm. Rob, same thing to you. Where do you feel he sits among the all-time greats?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with Jonathan here that, you know, it's kind of a bit harsh on some players that, unfortunately, I was never able to see, like the likes of Michel Platini and many other great players that are considered in those attacking midfield positions, or even as playmakers, you know, the likes of Diego Maradona, for example. So I think in terms of what he was able to achieve in such a short period amount of time at club and at international level, you know, to win the World Cup for France, the first ever one, and be kind of that superstar and kind of that main figure, has to put him up there as maybe the greatest French player of all time. But in terms of my lifetime, what I've been able to see of Zidane, you know, even if it was for a few years, and then looking at who came afterwards, I think in terms of what he was able to achieve in his era, I think he really stands upon everyone else. I mean, he really is someone that was able to be so elegant in his playmaking ability. You know, he had it all. He had vision, passing, ball control, the technique, and the classiness that he had. And of course, he was able to back it up with the trophies that he won. So you need to really consider himself as maybe the greatest attacking midfielder of all time. For me, I think he stands alone as one of the all-time greats. I don't know where I would put him on a list of, like, all-time greats, of, because even though, like you said, Jonathan, like, I agree with you, and watching documentaries or videos or learning about them and respecting the careers that they had, you know, it is kind of a bit of a misfortune that, you know, you can't really make those comparisons when you haven't seen them in the flesh and you could really see them with your own eyes, as opposed to just watching it on YouTube or documentaries or anything like that. So,
I think what's also telling is that the amount of players who, you know, if you're taking the consideration of position out of this, the amount of players who you think, you know, could sort of be able to challenge him for a place on the list of all-time greats, how many of them actually come out and, you know, and praise him and say that Zidane was one of the guys that they looked up to? Mm-hmm. When you look at some of the praise that he's had from the likes of Ronaldinho, Thierry Henry, you know, Luis Figo, these guys that he played alongside and, you know, who were fantastic footballers in their own rights, yet have, you know, come out publicly in the past, you know, and lauded him, you know, Ronaldinho saying, like, you know, one of the best footballers of all time, one of my idols. You know, Henri, you know, even mentioning God when talking about Zidane. You know, I think that just speaks volumes, you know, about, you know, how he was viewed by players of similar ability. And, you know, they don't form these opinions, you know, based on nothing. They're basing this on what they see, whether it's in training, whether it's in matches alongside him or against him.
You know, I agree. Making the comparison going backwards is difficult. But I think the way that we can judge him now is that moving forward, if someone says they want to be an attacking midfielder in world football, or we consider them as an attacking midfielder, the blueprint is Zinedine Zidane. You know, his style of play, his skills, his technical ability, that's the blueprint that we'd want to see move forward. And if you were looking for one of the top attacking midfielders in world football, you really compare them to Zidane moving forward, because he is kind of the gold standard at this point of that attacking player. So that's, for me, and like you said, Jonathan, the contemporaries that you know, indicate how great he is and talked about how great he is, really lends to his stature as one of the all-time great footballers that we've ever seen. So, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you both for joining me tonight and helping me break down Zinedine Zidane in our Hall of Foot series. So for Jonathan Johnson and for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello. Thanks for listening, and good night.